Thank you for the reminder. Yes. Yes, I will start with or restart the roll call. Barford, not present. Alder Bennett, not present. Carlson.
Present.
Carlson is present. Chincheck Line.
Present.
Chincheck Line is present. Alder Evers.
Here.
Evers is present. Glazier.
Present.
Glazier is present. Gonzalez is excused, actually. Alder Govindarajan. Alder Govindarajan not present. Groot.
Present.
Groot is present. Iams.
Present.
Iams is present. Kinderman is excused. King. King is not present. Luskin. Luskin not present. McKay.
Present.
McKay is present. Mendez.
Present.
Mendez present. Perkins.
Present.
Perkins is present. Alder Revere.
Here.
Alder Revere is present. Alder Vitiver.
Here.
Alder Vitiver is present. Weber.
Here.
Weber is present. Wells.
Present.
Wells is present. Ziegler. Not present. He had said that he may be late if he's able to attend at all. So we do have quorum.
Thanks, Ben. First item of business is the approval of the minutes from October 24, 2024. Is there a motion?
I move the minutes be approved as presented.
Thanks, Mike. Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, John. We'll do the affirmative. Unless there's objection, the minutes are approved. Oh, I'm sorry, discussion. Seeing none. Unless there's objection, the minutes will stand approved. And not seeing or hearing objection, the minutes are passed. Thank you. Disclosures and recusals. So for anybody who may have a conflict or with the presentation tonight, because we may have possible action on that, please speak up. And not seeing anyone. Any committee public comments, Ben? I'm guessing we don't have any other than the presenters.
Sorry, I tried to unmute myself and didn't get it done. We only have one registrant this evening, Scott Akatz, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, with the Wisconsin School of Business presenting on the Granger item.
Great, thank you. New business, that tees it up. So Legistar 85171, the Granger first floor renovation and addition. And Janine, are you going to tee this up?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Chair. Excuse me. So the Granger Hall first floor dining renovation and addition project, this particular development proposes to construct a south-facing two-story, about 8,200 square feet addition on the interior first floor and an interior first floor renovation. The first floor renovation includes some extended student workspaces and dining options, and the new south-facing two-story atrium will allow for study, dining, and event spaces, as well as a rooftop garden. So a couple of notes on where this project has been when you last saw it and when the design review board saw it. So the design review board actually just reviewed this for an informational presentation this last Tuesday on the 21st of January. And previously, Joint Campus Area Committee heard this project as an informational presentation back in September on the 26th. Today, the University of Wisconsin-Madison is asking for a formal referral to Design Review Board, and that would go back to DRB in February. And I believe, I'll let Scott talk more about the project schedule, but I believe that they are wrapping up design and final design and looking to start construction this spring and summer. So with that, Scott, I will hand it off to you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I will share my screen. Okay, can you all see a cover page with the Joint Campus Area Committee?
Yeah. Can you make it full screen to make it a little easier to see?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll do my best.
I think if you do a slideshow, it'll probably be accomplish that.
There we go. Full screen crosshair. That's not it. I apologize. This is not my. There we go. Full screen. And that did not do that. Presentation. There we go. Okay, and I have, I'm going to try to do this in 10 minutes just to leave it open for conversation and questions afterwards. There's a lot of slides. I'm probably going to skip over a bunch, but again, this is the, and the, my viewing bar is in the way there. There we go. Yeah, so as Jeanine said, the schedule, we're going to start construction. Actually, this has been pushed a month. So we're starting construction in June, and that will go to July, August of 2026. But as Jeanine said, this is about a 8,200 square foot addition plus 31,500 square foot of renovation. And just to review some updates from the last time you saw this, there have been some color changes with the exterior going to a lighter terracotta baguette color, some lighting strategies for the roof terrace, adding some string festoon lights to add some sparkle and hospitality to the space. And then in the floor plan, we had a vestibule into a coffee house off of University. That vestibule has been removed. It was deemed not necessary by UW-Madison and the stakeholder groups, and that allowed for a reconfiguration of the North Plaza to view that North Plaza more of creating a buffer for bike path parking rather than kind of occupiable space on a very busy, noisy intersection. And then exterior materials on the south facade, we've done some further refinement there, including some revisions to bird deterrent glazing, landscape changes. Again, the development further of materials for the South Plaza, and then the reconfiguration of the north side of the building. So I'll go through these very quickly. This is just location showing where Granger Hall is in relation to the concept. This is the existing survey. And then this is really the bulk of the project here in red for the addition that impacts kind of the cityscape. We're filling in about two thirds of that exterior existing courtyard with a new winter garden or atrium space. A bird's eye view of what we're proposing, coming down a little bit closer. And then this is that addition that we're infilling the existing courtyard in, providing new landscaping and planting beds along the perimeter of the street, just to provide we're trying to create a interior room for the South Plaza and then these entry sweeps to welcome people in from a busy street, and adding two new entrances to the building on either side of that plaza. This is a detailed view of the paving pattern for that South Plaza, just showing diagrammatically what we're doing with the planter beds, providing space for some large trees just to provide that shelter from the busy street, but then also adding some smaller planting beds to create some more intimate areas within the plaza space. And then included in the slide deck was kind of a planting study. I'll freeze over this quickly. Again, this is the scale that we're trying to achieve with that south-facing view. And then this is the landscape character of that plaza. So introducing a lot of natives into that zone will really help create some great outdoor space. And then we're going with a non-permeable paver system. There is a parking deck that's below this plaza, which really doesn't allow for, you know, the traditional drainage through a pervious paver system. But we are adding a stormwater management system, which we'll go over a little bit later in this presentation. Character of our seat walls, the color of the precast, trying to blend between the terracotta baguette and the existing building precast to create areas for people to sit along the planter beds. However, there, the central bed, though, does have some elevation change. And again, here we're just trying to create some noise buffer from the traffic, and then also just to create so people on the inside of the building can see this sloped planting bed with the trees from inside the plaza and inside the building. And then site lighting, we're proposing three post-pole lighting, which follows the campus standard, and then the linear exterior lighting at the vestibule. The inside of the building has a linear character to it, so we're trying to bridge the inside to the outside and providing some recessed linear fixtures into the soffit protection for people entering the building. And then the stormwater management. So even though there's a parking structure underneath the outdoor plaza, there is a space where that parking structure ends, and it's allowing us area to bury a cistern stormwater collection system. So we will have a trench drain that captures runoff from the plaza and then transfers it into a cistern. And this is the section. So here you can see the parking structure below, and then this is the placement of the cistern. And if we don't know if it's going to allow me to zoom in this presentation mode, but there is a level here that you can see is the 100-year floodplain, and there is extra capacity for even more extreme events within this cistern. And we did do studies looking at potentially adding a stormwater retention rain garden. However, that did not get us the desired capacity during those large rain events. And actually at the 100-year flood, when we did our modeling, that whole plaza was underwater. Water wasn't coming into the building, but it turned the plaza into a pond. So we feel that this is the direction to go with that stormwater runoff. And again, getting into the floor plan, just briefly, we are, again, that space that's left over down below is where our cistern will go, but we are adding a new mechanical room to serve the new addition. This allows us to prevent, or so that we don't have to do any penthouse or rooftop units again, and that allows us to have a rooftop terrace or an occupiable roof garden, which is desired. So this is the floor plan diagram. The darker colored areas, the extent of our renovation. We're doing a full renovation of food service, adding a retail restaurant along with a expanded catering kitchen. This is our two-story volume seating area for that dining component. Reworking some of the lounges, providing a private dining room, student organization suites. Other meeting rooms are being renovated with finish upgrades. And then this is a new addition to the business school, which is a coffee house. So a Starbucks will be occupying this space. In our earlier presentation from months ago, This was where that vestibule was. That is no longer there. So Starbucks or the coffee will be accessed from the inside of the building through the normal entryways of the building. And then looking at the North Plaza, we'll get into that a little bit later, but we do have an update on what we're doing there. And then second level, we do have a stair that accesses the ground level with circulation to access some classrooms. And then the roof.
It looks like Scott may have lost a connection. Mark, I don't know if you're able to jump in a little bit. And I'm not sure if Mark Bastian is registered to speak.
No, but if he wants to take over and register later on, given the technical difficulties, I think that could work fine.
Okay. Are you ready, Mark?
Scott may be trying to, it looks like he left. He may be trying to leave and rejoin. I'll keep an eye on the waiting room.
Okay, worst case scenario, I can do my best to take over. is it okay if we wait 1 minute?
Looks like he's rejoining now.
Okay, great.
Got it. It looks like you're still
muted
if you're trying to
Yes, sorry about this. Had a computer malfunction. The whole thing just shut down on me and got the blue screen of issues. So I do apologize for that.
Scott, I do have the presentation handy. I could pull it up if you want to speak to it.
Yes, that would be great. That could save some
okay.
time.
Sure. Happy to help. Okay, 1 moment.
Beauties of virtual meetings.
Okay, just let me know when to forward.
Yeah, so so this is the roof terrace. So we are providing a occupiable space with some plantings, seating areas at the front of the terrace. Is a more larger gathering space. And then as we get towards the back of the space, there is some landscape separations. And we have three smaller intimate seating areas in the back there. So next slide. Yeah, and this is just showing the elevation of what we're proposing for that new addition. Next slide. And then this is the plaza as it exists today. And next slide. And then this is what it'll be with the new addition and with the new planters. So there you can see we radiused the planter beds, trying to mimic some of the geometry of the existing building. And we also feel that this offers a nice welcoming entrance into that plaza. The planter in the foreground is at seat height, so people can sit on that, and then the planter in the middle of that space, the slopes towards Johnson, and then offers that kind of buffer for the traffic. And materiality within the face of that taller wall, we're salvaging some of the existing granite and resetting it into that front of that planter bed. Next slide. And again, another close-up view as you're entering into that space. Materiality of the facade is, we're going with a bronze metal panel and extending structural systems up past the roof line to capture some sun shading devices for the plaza, and really trying to integrate those sunscreens with the facade of the building. And then the horizontal panels within the window bays is where we have some terracotta baguettes for the solar control for the interior of the space. Next slide. And a straight on elevation showing that. And then the entrance vestibules, we're providing an aperture, which is a wood metal panel. So it has a wood look to the metal panel. And that, again, ties into the interior of the space where we have some wood on the interiors as well. So trying to make an indoor-outdoor transition, linking the two spaces. Next slide. And then this is kind of a detailed axon of the construction of that new addition wall. So we're providing that baguette structure for solar screening. And next slide, I think, is about the bird frit options. So we did look at multiple options for what we could do with bird
No, I think we lost him again.
I think we did. I'll do my best to jump in while we're waiting for him to log back in. But as Scott was saying, this, you know, they really took some time to explore some options for that, for the fritting, to make sure we're meeting the terms of the ordinance, but also just really trying to make it mesh within the current design. So these are just showing some examples of what that will look like when it's done. And then some elevation views showing, because there will be those horizontal baguettes that are solar shade devices, which also work as a way to kind of prevent bird collisions, but then more dense fritted pattern outside of where those baguettes are. And then some views of examples of what those exterior shading device baguettes will look like. And some examples of the aluminum composite panel, I think showing some other nearby projects and what that might look like. And then some examples of the curtain wall glazing system. And some more detail on the upper roof terrace. Kind of borrowing from some of the neutral colors from the ground terrace on the upper level, but trying to distinguish it for kind of more of a social and a study space, outdoor space with landscape, seating. And I know the team had also worked on an updated lighting plan, and I believe the next slide might show that. I know I'm going through this pretty quickly, but I'll be happy to go back through it if there are questions. Shows the landscaping plan, kind of continuing that theme of, local perennials and shrubs and grasses, native plantings, and showing an elevation view sketch of what that might look like, you know, varying levels of landscaping to create some sense of space. And some imagery to reflect that. There will be a green roof for a portion of it, which will include a combination of sedum and native grasses. And then a little bit more detail on the paving system, showing trying to use some natural looking materials and create spaces with different paving patterns on the roof. And then at the top, there's actually a skylight that will help bring natural light into the open space below. So the atrium will get natural daylight from the front, but also from the skylights above. And this provides more detail on the lighting. I know the design team wanted to be conscious to make sure that we're being conscious of the dark sky and trying to make sure that all light fixtures have a cutoff and keeps all lighting focused on the rooftop area, doesn't spill, you know, up above or down into the spaces below or to the buildings next door. Some images showing spaces might be like once they're furnished and enlivened with people. Some other views of that. This shows a revised layout for that front plaza. I believe that the last time Joint Campus saw this, there were a lot of questions about how this space was going to be used. And in you know revisiting on how people might enter to the coffee shop, Scott had mentioned they took away the vestibule, so the entry off of University Avenue, which also kind of reduced seating. There's still options for seating, but it's not a primary seating area, and there'll still be bike parking out there. So it's still more of it's a transition space with some seating, but more primarily for kind of circulation, bikes and pedestrians. And imagery of precedents that have done this type of thing on campus. The chemistry building along University Avenue, the Discovery Building, showing a close-up view and then an aerial view. And then some 3D views of what that might look like when it's complete. And probably one of the biggest differences will be that there are actually windows on this side versus just, an opaque surface. So I think it'll be a nice way to enliven the street and create some activity along University Avenue. And that shows a straight on view of what that will look like with the new storefront glazing. And I believe that is the last slide. Has Scott been able to rejoin?
I don't think so.
Okay.
His iPhone rejoined. I'm not sure if he's able to chime in or not.
Okay. Well, thanks, Janine, for pitching in here. Questions of the committee? And I see one hand up. I'm just trying to scroll here. Sorry. John Perkins, please.
A couple of questions about this. First of all, I think I saw on one of the schematics on the south side of the building that there's some bicycle parking that was kind of pushed off to the east and west entrances to the plaza. I'm wondering if you have numbers on how many bike parking stalls there are. That'd be on the north side of the building.
Okay, and that's where...
And this one looked like it was a net gain of 72 stalls there along the street, and then retaining the existing bike parking up along the building. You probably have to go back like 5 to 10 slides, but I thought it was listed where the entrances kind of swoop in from east and west.
Keep going. I'm pitch hitting here.
Yeah, that's you're good.
Tell me when to stop.
We'll back up a little bit.
I want to go back to.
All right.
Forward.
One more forward.
Yeah, forward one page.
Right here.
So is all right, my. So, it should have bike parking there. That it looks like it, they're labeled as BA8 on the left and BA10 on the right.
Correct. Yes.
And so there's some number of bike stalls in those areas. I'm wondering if you have a count on that and how many bike stalls there are existing on that end of the building now.
Within the courtyard, there's no bike parking within the courtyard. There is some existing bike parking to the west of the existing courtyard. But with our new development in those two pockets, I believe we're adding 14 new stalls to this plaza space.
So it's a net gain of 14?
Yep.
Okay. And a question regarding like stormwater and the elevations here. If I remember right, that it looked like the terrace or this plaza space here sits a little bit lower than the sidewalk?
Correct.
All right. And so then that drains into a cistern. I'm wondering where the water from the cistern goes. Does it just drain out into the stormwater system, city stormwater system, or does it get reused in the building or for watering planters or?
No, we're not tying into using it for anything for the building irrigation. Now in the future, potentially they could do that. But as it's designed now, it's just going into the city stormwater system.
Okay. And then to be clear that there, other than changing some windows on the north front of the north side of the building where those storefronts are going to be, mm-hmm. there really are no other changes visible from the exterior on the University Avenue side.
No.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
That won't
that's be, all I.
Won't there be.
That's all I had for now. Thank you.
This is Mary Chinchak-Line from DRB. Won't there be the natural grasses that were going to be a little buffer along UAV and the bike lane?
Yes. Yeah. So that's in this area is on the north. So this is in the right of way that we're proposing adding landscaping between the bike lane and the sidewalk in front of Granger on the north. So that is an improvement or a change to the aesthetic of the building to the north is adding that zone there. And that's just following what Janine was describing elsewhere on university, using that as a precedent for this to kind of create that buffer between the busy street and the bike lane and the pedestrian. And what I think is the beauty of this is that there is some openings within that strip of green where bikes can directly come off of that bike path and there's bike parking right there so that they're not riding their bikes in the plaza, North Plaza area to find stalls. So we are providing some bike parking right at the bike lane.
Do you have anything else, John?
No, if I do, I'll have to ask it later because I don't remember what it was.
Okay, thanks. Gabe, I had you up, but now your hand's down.
I was going to help Janine if I needed to.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any other questions of the committee? I'm going to ask one more time. Any other questions of the committee? And John, you're back.
I finally remembered what it was. I was wondering how the upper terrace is accessed. Is that just from from the third floor of Granger Hall, or is there a stairway from the new space that's being added?
Nope, it's from the third floor space. There's the room that's adjacent to that entryway that Janine just pointed to, that's a common lounge space. So that acts as like a pre-function for this. And the other set of doors exits into a circulation space bordering some classrooms and offices.
All right. So the downstairs is kind of acting as there's potential food service and event space there. This upper space is basically just an outdoor space tied to the building, but
correct.
Really, he's gonna act independent of the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Seeing none, as Janine stated, we need a formal motion from Joint Campus to the Design Review Board to approve. Is there a maker?
I would move that we recommend approval by the DRB for the design as presented tonight.
To the DRB.
To the DRB, yeah. Yes.
Great, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, John. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll take this the same way. Unless there's objection, the motion's approved. Not seeing or hearing objection. Thank you all. The motion's approved. Thanks, Scott, for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, and apologize for the technology. Thanks for your patience on that. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
So moving on to discussion items, Legistar 51256. I don't know, Janine, if you're going to handle this or you wanted questions or...
What I might do is try to do like a super fast 2-minute update on a few projects on campus that are, I'm sure folks will be happy to see, are wrapping up very soon, hopefully by the summertime, and that'll be before projects like Granger get started later this summer. So I'll share my screen real quick and then I'll open it up for questions. And it might take me a minute to remember how to share again. There we go. Okay, hopefully this is showing up okay on your end. This just shows a campus map, and I've highlighted projects that are in construction and wrapping up in the near future. So the first one is the Near East Playfield project. And probably the big thing I might mention is that there's still a sidewalk closure on Elm and Willow. And I think we're hoping to have this one complete by the end of summer this year. So hopefully nearing completion on that. The VetNet Edition project, that one will be complete probably closer to late August. Most of the exterior work is done and folks are primarily working to make sure it gets furnished and finishing final punch list items. So that's where that one is. Engineering Drive Utilities, North Randall Avenue will be full closure from May to August this year. So heads up on that. And then Camp Randall. Right now, the focus is on demolition. So phase one was this south portion of the field house. And then a little bit later, the north portion will be demoed. And I believe that the design team is wrapping up final design and I believe going out for bid. I think it's gonna start in, I'll keep you posted on that as soon as I get more information on that. Let me know if there are any questions. Mortgage Hall, which is also known as the CDIS project. Exciting news, they are moving in. And we're hoping that that one will wrap up before summer this year. So looking to see some of those lanes open, bike lanes and all of that back to normal soon. The LVM facade repairs, I believe that that particular project is expected to be complete in June of this year. Levy Hall, however, I think that one will be going on for quite a while. And for my notes here, I think we'll probably, that one will continue through the end of this year and probably into next year. Cole Center Edition should be wrapping up very soon, should be done this spring. I believe they're doing, again, interior work and punch list items. So I'm going to pause there and see if there are any questions.
For the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, we've got on the schedule here DRB and Joint Campus early reviews in 2025. Do you think they'll be February, March?
I'm hoping they'll be back in February.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then questions from the committee, Robbie.
The Engineering Drive project, you said that Engineering Drive is going to be closed from May to August. Mm-hmm. What part of Engineering Drive, like, will lot 17, is it lot 17? Is that what that, I always get 71 and 17 confused. How are people going to access that?
Janine, I can jump in and Hayden.
Please, thank you.
Fill in. So starting the Monday after commencement, Randall will be closed from Johnson to Dayton Street for the most part. Access into Union South, Loading Dock, Went Commons will be maintained, as well as access into the park. To access Lot 17, you can still get to it. Hayden, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, from Johnson Street. You will also be able to get to it from the alleyway between ECB and Mechanical Engineering.
Okay. So it's Randall that's going to be closed.
Correct.
Okay. So this happens to be how I get home on my bike. So I'm trying to figure out, so I can go through, I can still go through the engineering campus if Randall's closed.
Yes, you will still be able to do it. You would have to go to Johnson if you're going north on Randall to get over to Engineering Drive again, or you can take Badger Way.
No, on my bike, I just go through the Camp Randall Arch and...
Yep, that should be maintained all the way through calendar year 26. And then there'll be some closures or blockage with the McLean Center coming down and that second phase of the project.
But there will be some, I mean, you'll phase that so that people will be able to get through one way or another.
That's the plan.
Phase at the same time. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
John Perkins.
A couple of questions. One for maybe for Gabe on this one, but for Lot 17 access for people coming out via Engineering Drive, is there going to be a crossover so that people can depart to the north on Randall and get up to Johnson or University then? So I think it has been that everyone had to go south on Randall to get out of that area for a while.
Correct. So you cannot make a left turn onto Randall in normal conditions. It is currently has a median that prevents that. So you will head south on Randall. The best bet to go east or north is to go up the alleyway between Engineering Center's building and Mechanical Engineering.
So if people were to come out of Lot 17 on Engineering Drive, they hit Randall, they're still going to continue to go south?
Correct.
Okay. So that'd be the usual. So there'd be one lane southbound just to get...
Yeah, let me correct that. Hayden, I know you're on here. Will you confirm that?
Yeah, just one thing. So when they're doing the full closure of Randall, they're going to allow, if you're trying to get from Engineering Drive to and out via Randall, they're going to allow left turns to access Johnson.
Thank you.
All right, that's kind of what I was expecting, if it really was going to be a full closure there. But the other question I had is for Janine, since supposedly where departments are moving into Mortgage Hall. I'm wondering if you have a date on that.
When move-in will be complete? Or when
it's even starting. I work for one of the departments. I haven't heard any dates yet. So I'm wondering what you've been told.
I know that furniture is being delivered. I can tell you that much. And as far as move-in dates, that's probably more coordinated.
I believe commissioning is set for May, which I think would be when we get our occupancy permit. So that's when people can start to move in, is my understanding. But I'll talk to you.
I thought it was
they should have that.
I thought we were looking at June for the move-in on that for once everything minus the people is ready to go. But it sounds like it'll be pretty close to that. So thank you.
Regina, you had your hand up and now it's down.
It was the same question as Robbie.
Okay, thank you. And Doug.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I should ask this with the Granger presentation. I know that coming on Johnson, we've squeezed from four lanes to two now with the BRT and the closure at the new data center. It'll be welcome to have that reopen because the shift is a little bit messy. Are we closing a lane in front of Granger while that's under construction?
So Hayden can jump in again. The plan is to have Burke Street will be closed, which will be the staging area for the project. There will be deliveries and some short-term construction closures for that north lane. And the plan is to do it during off-peak time during the day. So it may be either early before the AM peak or it might be like kind of midday where they can do those closures. Hayden, do you have any more information on that?
Not really. I just know that I believe the Granger project is going to be working with the adjacent development on that 309 Brooks, but they'll be kind of sharing that staging area on Brooks Street as those two projects go along. And there's going to also, I think they're looking at taking the southbound, one of the southbound lanes of Park Street adjacent to Granger. But the sidewalks and everything should remain open. So no impact to pedestrians.
Yeah, that would be welcomed considering the pinch that area is in already. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Any other questions regarding the project updates? Thanks, Janine. We will move on to UW Health Project Updates. Legend Star 66581, Mike.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll share my screen real quick here. And our list has gotten considerably shorter, so this will be very brief. Basically, we're down to two projects on the committee's agenda. So the two are, we're finishing up the work for the University Hospital Emergency Department improvements for a new vertical care unit. This work is actually substantially complete this month, and they'll begin moving in, setting furniture and equipment, going through activation and training. We're anticipating that space to be open for patients by the end of February, early March. As the committee might recall, all of this work was inside of the parking structure below the Children's Hospital, so not really visible at all from the outside. We shifted with campus's permission approval and collaboration. We shifted some ambulance parking bays, actually created a couple additional ones, and then used some kind of what we call leftover space that was captured to build this unit. This is a rendering of it, but this is actually what the unit looks like. So infilling where the ambulances used to park diagonally in this space are now in the center. And then we've got 10 what we call vertical care stations. So if you're a low acuity patient needing to see us at the ED, you're going to be ushered in here right away and treated and released. So almost functioning like an urgent care within the ED. So it'll be a nice unit for throughput. And then the big one that's still on the list that will be for the next couple of years is the University Hospital D2 module addition. Work on that project site. That's filling in the D2 module on the rear of the hospital. I can refer to this aerial. So University Avenue at the bottom, University Bay Drive coming up, Children's Hospital to the west of University Hospital. The green oval is the Hillary Grace Garden, rooftop garden. And then this green space you see next to it is where the D2 module is going. That land there actually sloped down at one point to the loading dock. And the module is going to sit over the top of that and be expanded upwards from there. Reminding the committee what that looked like. This is a rendering from the process that we took through the DRB, through this group and DRB for approval. So module sit up and then connect to hospital in the back there, but it's in between Children's Hospital, the Medical Foundation Centennial Building, and then portions of University Hospital that come out in the front. And our work on that, we've reached the bottom of the hole. Foundations are coming up. Structural steel is going to actually, I think, start to begin to show up on site in April, May. And that will be a process we are coordinating with through the contractor, with the city, and with the Village of Shorewood. A lot of this building is going to be assembled off-site, so the truck should come in sequence and the crane will pick and set. And it'll just be a orchestrated process, so that should minimize traffic interference on U-Bay Drive and make the process of installation very efficient. We're on schedule for substantial completion by the end of June of 2026, and then training and activation by our staff will go through the following months with first patients. I think we're targeting 3 months after June, so that's July, August, September of 2026. You can be a patient in this wonderful new space. And that's what I have, Madam Chair. I can answer any questions the committee might have.
Any questions of Mike? So what's the crane up there right now? Did you put that up early before the steel came in, or?
Yes, that the tower crane is went up, and that actually at one point was lifting excavating equipment down into the hole and then bringing it back up. That way we were keeping the adjacent loading dock in service. So everything was kind of picked and set. And then the crane will be used to erect the steel and the main components of the building envelope. And then once the envelope is up and the tower is enclosed, the crane will come down.
Okay, great. I see it from my skylight every night.
Bright and white. We have it lit up. That's also so we don't have interference with the med flight, right, which, you know, lands nearby. And actually that crane operator, when they're in operation, is in constant communication with our EMS service and med flight. So if there is a need to shut down for anything, they'll do that.
Great. Thanks so much. Any other questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Ben, Legistar 51257.
Just some brief city updates. I wanted to mention 623 North Lake Street will be on Plan Commission agenda for February 17th. This is an alteration to a previously approved conditional use that would allow two additional apartment units to be constructed and added to a previously approved 20-unit building at that location. And then also want to mention, and this is obviously pretty far from the bulk of campus, but North Midvale Boulevard is planned for resurfacing from Mineral Point Road to University Avenue in 2025, which I anticipate impacts some commuters into campus and also ambulance service from outlying areas potentially to the hospital. So the project will include intersection safety improvements, pedestrian crossing improvements, bike lanes, partial replacement of asphalt pavement, spot replacement of curb, gutter, and sidewalk. There will be some street parking that will continue to be allowed, but a portion of the median will be narrowed and street parking will be somewhat reduced from what it is right now. Construction of the project is anticipated from late July to late October of this year. There is a virtual public meeting that's scheduled for January 30th at 6:30. Registration for that is required and can be done by the project website, which can be accessed through the Engineering Division Projects page. There is one other update, but it looks like someone's trying to rejoin the meeting. It looks like, we got him in. And then there's another street reconstruction project. This one is more local, but a little bit closer to campus. North Franklin Avenue and Lynn Terrace will be reconstructed, and this project includes sanitary sewer, storm sewer, water main and pavement, with spot replacement of curb and gutter, sidewalk and driveway aprons, and that's planned for spring and summer of this year. So any questions on those from the committee? Be happy to provide any additional information if I have it.
Looks like no questions. Thanks, Ben. Next order of business is adjournment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. That we could sit here all night.
Ben seconded. Second? I'll second. Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Non-debatable. All those, well, we're just going to say if there's objections, speak now. Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody. That was kind of a lightning meeting here. Under an hour. Appreciate your time.